Well, good evening. Good to see y'all here this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, "He Has Made Me Glad." I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Amen. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to the sacrifices of joy. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. Amen. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the living. Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky. And stay by my side until morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care. And fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Amen. The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. And they looked up and saw a shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light. And so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to seek for a king, was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. His star drew nigh to the northwest, o'er Bethlehem it took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay, right over the place where Jesus lay. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then entered in those wise men three, full reverently upon their knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Amen.
You want to do a pick a hymn? All right, pick a hymn. Y'all want to sing the other version of Away in a Manger? 250? A Little Town of Bethlehem. All right.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to do another one? Oh, anybody else have another one? if y'all, yeah, if you're thinking about one, yeah. 505? All right, let's see what's on 505. Yeah. He touched me. All right. Amen. 505, he touched me.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
You went and got in bed. I got about 40 minutes. I think it's all that fajita we had last night. I had to sleep that off again. Amen. Guess what I had for lunch? For more fajitas. No, it actually was a Mio Rancho today. Mio Rancho fajitas today. Mi Rancho, Picositos. It's all the same. They get it from the same distributor, frying it up on the same stove, getting the same sauce. Huh? Yeah, it was all good. It really was good. Yeah, it really was good. Amen. All right, any praises tonight? I am all right. Yeah. Place to be here, yeah. Praise to be here. What else? Amen. All right, brother. Preach the word of God. Of God. Amen. All right, what else? Yeah, we had over 70 total. I don't know what the final count is, but there were 62 adults plus the kids, over 70. So that was a big day for us. Probably the biggest day we've had in 2 years. Say again? Well, yeah, that may be it. Very, very true, very true. Oh, man, okay. Well, you know, that YouTube helps it. I don't think the YouTube hurts it. I think the YouTube helps it, so. Or, I don't know, maybe it hurts it. Who knows? All right. Preach Word of God, over 70 here today. And all the little bitties. Wasn't that good to see all the little bitties? Good to see them babies. I love hearing them baby cries. Can't remember the preacher. He was an independent preacher and pastored a big independent church. I want to say it was in Arkansas or, might have been in Missouri. I don't know. But anyway, he didn't like babies crying. He'd be in the middle of preaching. One would get going. And he'd go, somebody get that baby. You talking about making a new mama wanting to crawl under the pew. Buddy, that'll do it, man. Oh, I love it. I love it. I have normally a little reserve volume that I don't give out. I can get on up there with them babies. I'm mic'd up. I can get over them. So I don't want to worry about it. All right, other praises. What you got? Anybody else? Anything online? No praise? All right. Prayer requests. That little girl we prayed for on last Wednesday night, Presley. So that's the Dawkins family. This is a part-time firefighter that works with Vince out at Cy Fair. Presley's sinuses. Remember we were talking about that? She got better, then she got worse, and then they did an MRI, and they found she did have a mass of that infection on her brain. They literally had to bore two holes in her skull and drain that and clean that out. Can you imagine? I just cannot imagine. So we want to continue to pray for Presley that she makes a full recovery. All in a sinus infection. This ain't no COVID. This is just general sinus infection. Unbelievable. All right? It's a prayer for the Dawkins family. Presley, full recovery from sinus infection. And then Vince gave me a call this afternoon, said he wasn't going to make it. Let's see if he's texted back. Let's see here. Nope, not texted back yet. But he had to go on a chaplain call here in Tomball. So he went with another fire department chaplain, and they were going to the main fire department in Tomball, which I don't know where that's at, but that's where they were going. And one of the full-time Tomball fire department guys died last night in a car accident. So I don't have a name, but we'll just pray for the Tomball fire department in the loss of one of their firemen. And then this little Brooklyn back here that visits with us, her mom was here today, and they had several other people with them, Brooklyn and Kevin. It's Kevin's sister that was carrying the twins and had lost one and still has the girl, still today has the girl. So let's continue to pray for that little girl. I'm trying to think. I think the name was Chelsea. Kevin's sister. So she's just got to make a few more weeks here, and that baby be viable if they have to take it early. So Chelsea, Kevin's sister, high-risk pregnancy. Okay. What you got, brother? Angelique, and Angelique's little what, brother? Little sister. Okay. Abuse. Victim. All right. Pray for Lori's coworker, Angelique, and little sister. Fleeing abuse. All right, all right. What else? Just turn the back. Yes. Danny Bates and the loss of his brother. And the brother's name? Gerald. Okay. And he was older, younger than Danny? Older? Did they ever come up with how or what happened or not yet? Okay. Gerald's passing. Pray for the Bates family. All right. What else? Yes, ma'am. And she's vaccinated. Yeah. Flu and COVID. Okay. And then her friend's name? Okay. And Caroline just got the flu? Okay. She's not vaccinated. Ooh. All right. Bless her heart. Don't get that COVID. All right, she's young. She's young. Young and tough. What else? Yes, sir, Paul. John's gizzard. What's going on with your gizzard, John? You look. MRI on your okay, on your stomach. All right, Brother John. Gastrointestinal. Gastrointestinal testing. All right, all right. Anything else? Oh, yeah, man. Good night. All the way from what? Arkansas to five states. It's up to 100 now. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Five states, 100 lost. Kentucky really got hit hard. Yeah. Amen. What else? What else? Artists? Okay. Home health rehab in Chicago. Amen, amen. All right, y'all ready? Sharon, how's Sharon's rehab going? Is she done? Oh, Sharon Heibarger. Sorry, different Sharon. Sorry. Two Sharons. Sharon, when does she start hers? She's going to have to go, or are they going to come to her? They're going to come to her. Okay, great. Right. All right, Sharon Heibarger. Amen. Got that therapy coming. Her thumb is still broke. Oh, my soul. Oh, my goodness. All right, all right. Very good. Well, let me go over these for those that are watching with us online that want to make sure they've got them written down. We've got, we're praying for Presley Dawkins. Presley Dawkins suffering from a sinus infection to the point where there was a massive infection on her brain from her sinuses. And so they had to bore a couple of holes into her skull and clean that out. So we're praying for a full recovery for Presley Dawkins. We're lifting up the Tomball Fire Department tonight and the loss of one of their firefighters by a car accident yesterday or last night. We're praying for Chelsea. This is a visitor's sister. Kevin is a visitor of our church. And so this is his sister, and his sister has lost one twin. She was pregnant with twins, and she lost one of those twins, and now she is she has a high-risk pregnancy, and they're trying to let that baby grow and develop for a couple more weeks. And then if they have to take her, they can do a C-section or induced labor or whatever. So we're praying for Chelsea and her baby. And then Lori's co-worker, Angelique, and Angelique's little sister are having to flee an abusive situation, and so we're just praying for wisdom and direction and help for them. And then Danny Bates, we're praying for the Bates family and the passing of Danny's brother, Gerald. We want to pray for them. And then Caitlin McCormick and her friend, Caroline. Caroline? Did I get it right? Caroline. Caitlin, vaccinated, has the flu plus COVID, and Caroline, unvaccinated, has the flu. So pray for both of these young ladies. That they're young, but let's still pray for them. They get through that and come on out the other side of it better. Amen. And then we're lifting up John Thornhill tonight with his gastrointestinal testing. He's going to be having an MRI. Or you've already had it, or are you going to have it? Going to have it. Okay. Going to have an MRI on Monday? Thursday. MRI on Thursday. All right, so we want to pray for that test, that everything comes out there good. And then we want to continue to pray for the five states that have lost in total over 100 people so far from these tornadoes. Unbelievable. One tornado they said was on the ground for 200 plus miles. That's hard to wrap your head around. And then Lardis up in Chicago, Bobby's friend, going home for home health rehab. And we're just praying that she be strengthened. And Sharon Heibarger, home after her foot surgery, we're praying for her therapy, that she's able to shoulder that, withstand it, and get that foot back where it needs to be. So, amen and amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that we can gather in your name. We thank you, Lord, for these folks that you have drawn out during a very busy time of the year here as we come up to just a few weeks before Christmas, Lord. And so we give you the praise and the glory and the honor that we have folks online and that we have folks in the house tonight to be in prayer and to study your word. And Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the ministry of prayer. And Lord, we just pray that you hear us as we lift these things up to you in just a concert of prayer tonight, as we try to bear one another's burdens. And Lord, as we just try to minister to those that have needs that have been voiced here tonight. Lord, we know you're the great physician. We know you're the great healer, the great touch. Lord, you help us when sometimes nobody else can or nothing else can. And so we just give you the praise for that, Lord. But we love you tonight. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we lift up Presley Dawkins to you. And Lord, we're praying for her and this procedure that she's had to get this infection off her brain. We're praying for a full recovery for Presley, Lord. We're praying for her parents as they travel back and forth to see her in the hospital. And Lord, everything that's going on, everything that they're dealing with, we just lift that Dawkins family up to you and praying for Presley's full recovery. We pray for our Tomball Fire Department, Lord. We're thankful for our first responders, our men in blue and our ladies in blue, and Lord, these firefighters that serve and put their life on the line in harm's way to help save us and to put out fires. And Lord, we're burdened and we're hurting tonight for the loss of one of their firefighters via car wreck. And Lord, we just pray you comfort that family, you comfort this organization. And Lord, we pray that you use Vince and his other chaplain to minister to them. And Lord, we're just thankful that Vince is kind of an extension of our congregation tonight as he ministers on behalf of the Lord tonight to help this family. So Lord, we just pray for them. Pray that you give them the words. Pray that you give them, Lord, just the demeanor, how to approach it, what to say, all of that stuff. Lord, we just lift that situation up to you. Lord, we lift up Chelsea to you tonight, Kevin's sister, and Lord, this high-risk pregnancy. Lord, we're thankful that Chelsea has been able to carry this little baby girl thus far. And Lord, we're just praying that you continue to sustain and grow this little baby inside of her. And Lord, we're praying that we get another good 2 or 3 weeks here, and this little baby just gets stronger and stronger. So if she does have to be taken by C-section or inducement, that Lord, she'll be able to survive outside the womb. So Lord, we just lift Chelsea up to you. We pray for Chelsea's husband. We pray for that little baby that she's carrying. And Lord, we're just looking forward to a testimony of praise that we're going to have a healthy baby and a healthy mama here in a couple weeks. We lift up Lori's co-worker to you tonight, Angelique, and Angelique's little sister as they flee an abusive situation. And Lord, we pray that you would open doors for them and give them wisdom and discernment. And Lord, just help them navigate everything that's going on right now. And Lord, we pray that you would put good people, Christian people, in their path, Lord, to encourage them along the way and to help them figure out where they need to go and what they need to do. We lift up the Bates family to you tonight in the loss of Gerald, Danny's brother. Lord, we pray that you just comfort Danny and be with Susie and all of their extended family in the loss of this loved one, Lord. We pray that as they prepare for a memorial or funeral, Lord, whatever the plans may be, we pray that there would be seeds of the gospel sown, there would be words of comfort spoken from the Bible, and Lord, we pray that there would be a celebration of life, and Lord, we pray that out of this loss there might be some salvation. So Lord, we lift that situation up to you tonight, we just pray for it. We lift up Caitlin and her friend Carolyn. Lord, both have the flu. Caitlin's got the flu plus COVID. Lord, we're thankful for Caitlin's vaccine. We pray that these antibodies that she has received will help her not get so sick from the COVID. And Lord, we're praying for Caroline that she doesn't come down with the COVID. And Lord, if she does come down with it, we're praying for a light case. And Lord, we're praying that you see these girls through, and Lord, just help them do everything they're supposed to do, what they need to do. And Lord, we pray, we're looking forward to a testimony of healing, a testimony of deliverance from these sicknesses here in the next week or so, Lord. We pray that by Christmas, they up and going, Lord. We're praying for Caitlin and Carolyn tonight. And then, Lord, we lift up one of our own, John Thornhill, tonight, Lord. We pray for him as he gets ready for this gastrointestinal testing on Thursday with the MRI. We're praying that those tests are normal. And, Lord, there's not anything seriously wrong. And, Lord, we're just praying that you give the doctors wisdom and discernment as they try to diagnose Brother John and give him the best medical advice as he goes forward from this. Lord, we lift up the five states that have experienced such horrific storms these past couple of days, these tornadoes on the ground, and just hours and hours of mayhem and death and high winds and incredible tornadoes, Lord. We just pray for these towns that have some just literally been wiped off the face of the earth. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for those that are having to search and rescue. We pray for those that are coming across those deceased bodies. We pray for those families that are going to have to claim deceased bodies. Lord, we're praying for your grace, and we're praying for your comfort. And we're praying for in the midst of all these ashes, Lord, that you would bring about your beauty. You would bring about your grace. You would express your love and kindness to these that are so overburdened and so downtrodden, Lord. And in the midst of all this, you would bring glory and honor to your name. But Father God, we pray that you would help these folks, help them begin the long, long process of rebuilding. We pray that these towns would get to stay, that there would not be a town lost. That, Lord, these great American towns and cities would rebuild. And these churches that were destroyed, Lord, they would rebuild. And they would rebuild bigger and better for your glory and for your honor. And then, Lord, we lift up Lardis to you in Chicago. We pray for her therapy as she receives it there in the house. We pray for her strength and that she just comes back to full recovery. And then for Sharon Heibarger, Lord, we continue to pray for this foot and its healing. We pray for no infection, Lord. We pray that these bones that have been rearranged and cut and broke and put back together and all of that, God, we just pray that you would mend them, you would bind them together, you'd bring this foot back together, make it whole, make it strong, make it one again, Lord, and Lord, allow Sharon to get back going again and walking and doing and all the things that she wants and needs to do. So, Lord, we lift these things up to you tonight. We praise you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your word to us. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Sharon's daughter that was in the picture on the Facebook, what's her name again? Kenzie Lynn. All right. Very good, very good. All right, Revelation chapter 16. I'll invite you to stand as we read the Word of God together tonight. It's our fourth installment on the seven bowls here. Revelation 16, beginning in verse 1. Those of you with us online, Revelation 16, beginning in verse 1. You found that tonight? Say amen. Well, I'll be getting pretty familiar with this passage as we've gone on it, gone over it a time or two here. It says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. Verse 7, and I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. Thank you all for standing in honor of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we've already covered the plague on the unrepentant and the rebellious sinner in verse 2. We've covered the plague in the sea. We've covered the plague in the rivers and streams. And we talked about the cumulative nature of these things, how they're coming quickly, how one builds on top of the other, and how it's getting more and more unbearable each and every day on planet Earth. I mean, it's just getting more and more unbearable. We began covering the plague in the sun, verses 8 through 9. That was Wednesday night. That's what we ended on. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Now, we think about our universe, we think about our solar system, we think about our galaxy and where our solar system is located, and then our galaxy along with many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands, way above my pay grade, I don't know how many millions of galaxies there are, but when you think about, you know, you see the pictures of the Hubble telescope shooting out into space and the beauty of it all and the grandeur of it all, that's amazing to me. God spoke that into existence, right? Let there be light. And boom, there was light. The universe is an amazing place to me. We're just a little bitty dot in a vast sea of space. God created everything. You believe that, right? He created everything, and he placed everything exactly where it needed to be. We said last week that the sun is some 93 million miles away from the earth. 93 million. That'd be a long way, amen? Are y'all cold? No, you're okay? One says she's cold, one says, what's the temp in here, brother? Okay, can you kill that fan? Maybe that'll help it a little bit. Because the AC's not on, it's just the fan. Okay, amen. All right, all right. I'm just getting a little cold. I'll try to warm up here. Amen. So, the sun is how far away? 93 million miles away from the earth. What you need to know is, friend, it sits exactly the Goldilocks distance, just right distance away from this earth. If the earth was some considerable distance closer, we would all be burned up a long time ago. If the earth was some considerable distance further away, we would all be wearing parkas all the time. I mean, we would freeze to death. But God placed the sun exactly where the sun needs to be. Hallelujah, amen. What is the sun? The sun is a giant nuclear reactor. And friend, I want to tell you, it's large compared to the earth. About 1.3 million Earths could fit inside the sun. That's a big old thing up in the sky. 1.3 million Earths could fit. That's why the earth don't fly off. That's why it stays right in its little orbit, man. The sun has got a hold on it, gravitational pull. Amen? 1.3 million of the Earths could fit inside of it. The surface of the sun is nearly 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. How hot is that welder when you're burning? It ain't that hot, is it? No. 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. If that heat were to hit the Earth full force, then the planet would burn up instantly. 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Surrounding the Earth is a band of radiation called the magnetosphere. All right. What is the magnetosphere? This radiation band deflects and redirects the solar particles from the sun that would literally, if we did not have the magnetosphere, would literally strip the atmosphere and allow the full brunt of the sun's rays to be felt. And you wouldn't want to feel that. That would be rough, right? Well, how then, little information about the sun, how then does the plague occur? Scholars think that during this plague, God will either turn up the heat of the sun or allow more of the sun's heat to enter the earth's atmosphere. Remember how the first plague, how it only affected those that had the mark of the beast? And the second plague affected all of the earth's oceans, and the third plague affected the streams and the lakes and all of that stuff. I think, just talking back and forth here, just kind of thinking it through, I think the saved people are going to have sources of water. I think the saved people are going to be able to survive better. Does that make sense? Because they don't have the malignant sore. They don't have the loathsome sore, right? So, I study the scholars, and I'm just not so quite sure. I don't believe that either approach to this sun burning these people is what's going to happen. Now, I do believe in the pan theory. And you know what the pan theory is, right? Everything's going to pan out in the end, right? So what we're talking about, if Pastor Lee's wrong, that's okay. We all understand the gospel. We understand that Jesus died for our sin, and we know that Jesus is the way to salvation. But when we come to these things, these details here, I'm not in line with the scholars that I've read. Maybe I need to read more scholars on this, but I believe in studying the passage, studying the context of it, where it's at, what's going on. I believe the plague on the sun is really a subtraction of common grace, right? Common grace allows people that don't know the gospel, because we know that if you're lost, you stand condemned already. Well, why are you not consumed? Why are you not cast to hell? Why do you get another day and another chance? Common grace, right? Why does rain fall on the lost man's crops, right? Why does a lost man get a promotion? I mean, how does a lost man make a living? Common grace. Amen? I believe it's a subtraction of common grace that allows lost people to exist on the earth in the first place. In other words, a saved person during the last part of the tribulation will be able to be outside without any kind of sun suit. He doesn't have the loathsome malignant sore on him, right? He's going to be able to be outside without any kind of sun suit, just like we are today. Now, hey, I'm fair complected, right? Anybody can relate to that? So at the height of the summer solstice, I've got about 5 to 7 minutes that I can be in the sun anyway, right? If I stay out in the sun longer than 5 to 7 minutes during the summer solstice, even when we get into the spring and the days start getting a little longer, I'll get out there and think I want to work in the yard, you know, and I'll have the short sleeve and I won't have my big brim hat on, and my old neck will be beet red, my old arms will be beet red. I just can't, my fair complected little old tender skin can't handle it, right? But these folks, as a result of the plague and the loss of common grace, lost people will experience intense burns on their bodies immediately. It won't be no 5 or 7 minutes. It'll be right here, right now. It'll be stick the hand out and that thing just cook in the sun. How many of you have had a bad sunburn? Everybody in here? Brother John, have you had a bad sunburn? They're horrific, aren't they? I mean, has everybody been blistered? Okay, blistered, right? And then you've had the skin like slough off your shoulders or your neck or your thighs or whatever, right? The pain of a sunburn, it's fun getting them, man, right? Throw caution to the wind, laissez-faire. I'm fishing, I'm playing in the water. But boy, that evening, oh my soul, that evening, The pain of a sunburn is an intense, nagging pain. Have you ever had the throbbing headache from the sunburn because your noggin got burned? Yeah. It's an intense, nagging pain. Imagine having that pain intensified many times over. Imagine the agony that will result from this plague. It's going to be a rough one. And so we said Wednesday night that another of humanity's crutches is kicked out from underneath them. Their skin is loathsome, it's malignant. Their ocean is putrid, their streams and lakes are no good anymore. And now they can't even go outside. Since the dawn of time, the sun has risen every morning and has sat every evening. The sun has yielded life-giving, dependable heat, life-giving light for thousands of years. But one day, sinful humanity will awaken to a sun that will blaze down in flaming heat. The heat from the sun, I believe because of a lack of common grace, will scorch their bodies as with fire. But this turned-up heat will be nothing compared to what heat? Will be nothing compared to the place called hell. The pain that the rebellious and the rejecters of the gospel will feel when they are cast into hell's fire. So this is, you could say, this plague in the sun, you could say, this is just kind of a warning that something far more terrible and final is coming to those that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we read the Bible. Those of us here, those of us online, we read the Bible. We've gone through this verse by verse. We read the Bible. We understand. What do we understand? We understand that these plagues are God's judgment on sinners who refuse to come to Him for salvation. Everybody's on the same page there. Amen? Right? These plagues are designed to judge those who have defied a holy God at every turn. He's tried to express to them grace. He's tried to show them forgiveness. He's given them preachers to preach the gospel. He's given them an angel in mid-heaven. He's given them two witnesses. He's given every opportunity for these people to turn to Him for salvation. These plagues are designed to judge those who have defied a holy God. Now, we read about these bowls, and we understand the source and the solution. God's the source, but God's also the solution, right? He's also the solution, Almighty God. But what strikes me as amazing, what strikes me as hard to wrap my mind around, what strikes me as, man, this is a mystery to me. What strikes me is, boy, this is way above my pay grade. What strikes me as amazing is the fact that these people, they understand what's happening to them too. They understand. They understand. They understand that God is behind these plagues, per the Word of God. Per the Word of God, they understand it. Instead of repenting in the face of His wrath, they stand in continued defiance to Him and His will. Men were scorched with fierce heat, verse 9. And what did? They blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give Him glory. The Bible tells us in verse 9 that they blaspheme. They blaspheme that name, the name of God. Now, what does that mean to blaspheme? That word means to revile. That word means to speak evil of. To speak evil of Almighty God. To speak evil of Him. How could they do it? They shake their puny little fist toward the Almighty God, and they revile. They take His name in vain. They revile His holy name. So I ask you the question, kind of as we think about it, as we go through this tonight. What are the lost? What are these lost rejecting of the gospel? What are they really doing here? I'll tell you what they're doing. They're blaming God for their troubles and they're suffering. That's what they're doing. They're playing the blame game. Now, we think about human history. We think about biblical history. We think about human history as it relates to biblical history. And, of course, that has been humanity's way since the dawn of time. The blame game. Amen? Even in Eden, what did Adam and Eve do? They sought to blame their problems on others, right? Yeah, oh man, it's not me, God, it's her. It's the serpent's fault, right? Only God, only they're saying, God, it's your fault. That trend continues today. Grown men and women are running around blaming their parents for the problems they have in life. If they're angry, if they are substance abusers, if they have other problems in their adult lives, they lay the blame at their parents' feet. They won't take responsibility. Homosexuals, lesbians, blame God for their perversion. They blame God. They claim God made them the way they are. Friend, that's the most foolish thing that you can say. Homosexuals and lesbians are not born that way. That's a lifestyle choice. It's a lifestyle choice. There may be some hormones that need to be treated. There may be some diagnostician with the endocrine system that needs to go on. But ultimately, those are lifestyle choices. Husbands blame wives. Wives blame husbands. And everybody blames everybody else for their problems. Even under judgment of the wrath of God, men and women, lost folk, will blame God for what they are suffering. Make sense? Amen or oh me, my goodness. God in His Word clearly states the problem in verse 9. They did not repent as to give Him glory. Those that fool around and reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and then die. The Bible says, what does it say? After we die, then there is the... Yeah. They die when they go to hell. They will have no one to blame but themselves. Now, that's the plague in the sun. We come to this next one, this fifth bowl, and that's the plague, or that the beast is plague. Now, we're going to start this one. We're not going to finish it. Look at verse 10 tonight. Word of God reads, and the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. History continues to repeat itself just on a larger scale. We've already talked about this, as God did long ago in Egypt, for Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 29. God will, He will turn up the intense suffering of the sinful world by turning out the lights. After the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, his kingdom became darkened. Now, don't miss the result. The darkness engulfing the whole earth, which is Antichrist's worldwide kingdom. There was a time when that bowl was poured out, the lost couldn't go. If they went out, they'd be consumed. They would be burned. Now they're in total darkness. The whole kingdom, his whole kingdom is darkened. Don't miss the result. Darkness engulfing the whole world. The beast will be as helpless before the power of God as anyone else. You know, when you're in a plane and you're flying across the landscape, you know, you look down and you're flying at night, and you can see the big metropolitan areas, can't you? Yeah, you see off in the distance. Well, man, I must be coming up to Houston. Look at all them lights, right? Or you're flying out in West Texas and you're going, there ain't much out here, right? Or you're coming into LAX and you're going, look at all those lights. Right? Or you're flying into the eastern seaboard, you're going, look at all those lights, amen? I mean, the lights, right? Even the Christmas lights, they're beautiful, aren't they? The illumination, to have the light, right? To have the light and then have all the lights turned off. Do you remember back in February when the power went out and the heat was off? Oh, my soul. That's not fun. Oh, man. Dark. No coffee. Right? Right? No cooking unless you got a gas stove. Right? I mean, it was getting slim. It was getting slim to nothing. Right? Amen? You with me? Right? Right? Jesus declared in his Olivet Discourse in Mark chapter 13, verse 24, this is what Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Now, I began talking this evening to you about the cumulative effect of the painful sores, the cumulative effect of the fouled oceans, the cumulative effect of the lack of drinking water, the cumulative effect of the intense heat, all engulfed in now thick blackness. It will bring an unbearable misery. Yet incredibly, the wicked, unbelieving people of the world will still refuse to repent. John notes that they gnawed their tongues. Literally, they kept on chewing because of the most intense and excruciating pain. Yet, with those same tongues in those same mouths, the Word of God says they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores. Now, in the Bible, this is the last reference to their unwillingness to repent. Well, why do we say that here? Why do we say that? The first five plagues were God's final call, His final call to repentance. Sinners ignored that call. They ignored it and are now confirmed in their unbelief. Does that make sense? Okay? The final two bowls containing the severest of all the judgments will be poured out on hardened, non-repentant, unrepentant, closed-minded, not going to get right souls destined for hell. Those two final bowls will be poured out on them. Amen and amen. We stoppeth there. Any questions? Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Oh, yeah, we talked about that last Wednesday night. Yeah, we went through it. Now, will there be quite a few people that have already been martyred? Yeah, there will be quite a few people that have already been martyred for their faith. But the 144,000 are still there. 144,000 are still there. Certainly, there are some saved Gentiles in the mix of that 144,000. Certainly, there are. I believe there will be representatives from every tongue, tribe, and nation on earth that go into the millennial reign, all right, with God. Yeah. So there are going to be pockets around the world where they're held up, caves where they're hid out, places where they can't find them, but they'll come out. When do they come out? They come out when Jesus' feet hits that mountain and He ends all of it. And they'll assemble all the safe people of the world. When this is all finally put down, all the insurrection, all the rebellion, all I'm not going to repent, all I'm not going to get right, we want to worship the devil, we got the mark of the beast, yada, yada, yada. When that's all said and done, these people will come out. These people come to Jerusalem. These people are going to worship Him. Amen. And it'll be a 1,000-year reign with them, and they will reproduce. They will be given in marriage. They will live a long, long time. Didn't they live a long, long time when it first got going? Yeah, they're going to live a long, long time again, right? Would you want to live that long? I don't know. I think God put us in our time because we fit here. He's a sovereign God, isn't he? Yeah. You know, and I look at my old dad, and he's 78, and I tell him, I said, man, you've had a good old run, Dad. He goes, I'm going to make it. I go, I know. You're going to make it, buddy. You just keep hanging in there. Going to make it to glory, amen? So, yeah. But, you know, some people get 100 out of it. And Brother Bill got what? 96 out of it. Some people get less. But we're made for this time. That's just what we're made for, right? Is she really? Betty White. Oh, Betty White going to be 100. Wow, amen. Well, guys, we've kept you into the extra minutes here, so let's pray it out. Amen? Brother John, does that take care of it? Does that help you? Amen, amen. Our Heavenly Father, we close tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word again. We thank you for these that you've brought out. And Lord, we pray for safety for them as they travel back home. And Lord, we pray for a restful evening. We pray for a good start of the week starting tomorrow, Lord. And we pray that we would be in the middle of your will. We pray we'd be in your word, that we would be praying to you as we go throughout the day. And Lord, may our lives bring glory and honor to your name. And may people see the difference that's in us, and that's the gospel, that's salvation, that's the wonderful relationship that we have with you. We praise you and thank you for it. We are eternally, eternally and daily grateful for being saved from our sin, the penalty of it, and being kept for all eternity with you. We praise you and thank you for that tonight. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks dismissed.